Let's get into our Bible study. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're talking about breaking free. Breaking free. God does not want you and I to live a constrained, restrained life. God doesn't want us to go through life dysfunctional, depressed, or defeated. God has an abundant life. God has a free life, an overcoming life. God has a life planned for you. That's good news, isn't it? That before you were born, God planned out your life. You say, Pastor, what happens if I don't like His plan? I promise you, you'll like His plan. His plan will be much better than our plan. The Bible says His ways are higher. That means better than our ways. The Bible says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That means better. So God's got a better plan. And you know, that's so important that we understand that and the life that God wants us to live. So breaking free. Pastor, what is this all about? Well, last weekend I gave you 5 keys to break free. Wednesday night we taught on the role of the Holy Spirit in breaking free. This weekend I want to give you 3 points again on breaking free. You say, Pastor, I thought we're Christians. I thought we're free. Well, when you get born again, you receive His freedom. But then we have to walk it out throughout our entire life as Christians. Because we know we're not perfect, right? If you think you are, just ask the people around you that know you very well. Amen? So we haven't arrived. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad you came. If this is your first time, at least come back 3 more times. Because if you don't like what I'm saying today, maybe you'll like next weekend, okay? If you don't like that, I know you'll like the next weekend because Casey Treat is going to be here with us from Seattle, Washington, and we love Casey. Amen? All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 11, and you say, Pastor, what are we breaking free from? Well, psychologists and psychiatrists tell us the top 7 of the most destructive emotions in our life. Now, there are more than 7, but psychologists tell us the top 7. So let's look at these top 7, and I want you to examine your life as we go through these because we're all here someplace in one of these 7. The first thing is shame, guilt, regret, and resentment. That's one of the most destructive emotions to your life and my life that will keep us from living out God's plan for our life. That is shame, guilt, condemnation, regret, or resentment. How many of you know we all could live in regret, couldn't we? I'm coming over here now. You know, we all could live in regret, don't you think? I mean, we all have made wrong choices. We've all wished we could do it over again. We all coulda, woulda, shoulda. Y'all remember that Southern gospel song, coulda, woulda, shoulda? I don't know where that came from. My mom and dad, I guess. But anyway, we all have those things that we wish we could do over, wish we could live over, wish we could go back. But my mentor and pastor for years was John Osteen. And John Osteen always told me, Dave, you cannot unscramble scrambled eggs. Wasn't that very deep theological revelation? He said, Dave, you cannot unscramble scrambled eggs. What was he telling me? You can't go back, but you can sure enough go forward. You can't go back. Don't live in regret, but believe God for restoration. And God will take our mess ups and He'll turn them into a miracle if we'll just trust Him. Amen, church? Because we all have things we're ashamed of. We all have things that are in our closets. We all have, you know, skeletons in our closets. Pastor, what are some of yours? None of your business. They're buried in Christ. How about yours? Buried in Christ. And He never brings them up. Now, people might, but God doesn't bring them up. So number 2 is uncontrolled thoughts. You ever woke up in the middle of the night and had a panic attack? I have. You ever had those times where everything was just going great, but all of a sudden, I mean, it just hit you, these thoughts, where'd they come from? You know, they're fiery darts, aren't they? The Bible calls them fiery darts. The Bible talks about that you and I, every day, as Christians, we're to put on the armor of God. We're to have the shield of faith, which what? It quenches, I like that, quenches every fiery dart. Well, what are those fiery darts? Negative thoughts. thoughts that the enemy sends against you, you're not going to make it, you're not going to live, you'll never get out of debt, it won't get any better, it's over for you. You know, one of the cards that I received Wednesday night in the survey, it just broke my heart. One of the people put on there, "Pastor, I feel like I'm old and my life is past me, and how can God use me now as an old person?" You know, I want to tell you that, you know, our life should be getting better as we get older, right? Not less, not cutting back, not living with less. You know, older people, let's go to them for wisdom. Younger people, let's go to them for ideas. Older people, let's go to them for wisdom. Young people, let's go to them for ideas. We need both. Older people should be mentoring younger people in the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, those uncontrolled thoughts, we're going to have to get control of those thoughts if we're going to break free. You'll never change your life until you change your thoughts. You'll never change your life until you change your thoughts. And then number three, psychologists tell us to break free from, if we don't, it'll wreck our life. And that's lust, that's desires and habits that are ungodly. And you know what? You won't overcome a habit that's wrong by resisting it. You overcome it by replacing it. Does that help somebody here today? You know, "Boy, Pastor, I've been trying to overcome that habit in my life, and I don't like doing it, and I resist it and bind it and rebuke it." That's not enough. You're not going to get over that ungodly habit through resisting it. You're going to get over it by replacing it with a godly habit. Amen, church? So then number four is fear. Fear, breaking free of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Wow. Boy, fear is a bad thing, isn't it? Job in the Bible, he said, the thing that I feared came upon me. So family, whatever you're afraid of today, that's your future. Whatever you're fearing, you're attracting. Whatever you're fearing, you're actually self-prophecy. "Well, I fear I'm not going to get better." You won't. "I fear I'm never going to get a good job." You won't. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Job said, "The thing that I'm afraid of, I attracted it into my life and it came to pass." So you and I, we can't live the life God wants us to live till we break free of fear. For God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound and disciplined mind. All right? Number bitterness. Wow, how many people down through the years, 35 years of ministry, have I counseled bitter people? Bitter over their husband, over their wife, what they did. Bitter over the previous church. Bitter over something at work, something at school. Bitter over what a neighbor did, what a family member did. Bitterness. Wow. Bitterness will destroy your life. Bitterness is poison. It's like drinking poison. It doesn't hurt other people, but it sure enough destroys you and your potential. But we can break free of bitterness. We're going to talk about that Wednesday night, how to break free of bitterness this coming Wednesday night. And then number six, hopelessness. Psychologists say if we live without hope, we'll live depressed. We'll live discouraged. We'll live down. We'll be moody. Do you know that moodiness is the opposite of maturity? Maturity, the fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. Did you know that moodiness, being up one day and down the next, will keep you from the job and the position that you want? Moodiness. People do not promote moody people because they can't trust them. They never know what they're going to be like any certain given day. But the good news is we can break free from that. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Amen. So then Boy, I sound like WWF right there, right? Ready to battle, praise God. Number seven, insecurity. Insecurity. Wow. Pastor, I don't have any insecurities. We're going to have a prayer line. We all have insecurities. We all have insecurities. John Wooden. Remember the coach, John Wooden? UCLA, the great basketball coach, great leader. You know, the story is told he's 92. Now, he's dead now, but when he was 92, just gave a speech, got a standing ovation at 92. They helped him down off the platform, and he looked to his assistant and he said, I know I can do better. I know I can do better at 92. What was he saying? I have insecurities. I got to keep growing. I got to keep getting better. All of us have insecurities, but we'll find our real identity in him. Not in the crowd, not in the culture, not in your friends, or even in your foes, right? But we'll find out who we are in Christ. That's where we're going to find our true identity. And until you have a correct self-image, I hope I'm helping somebody today. Because as long as you are insecure, you'll never be successful. You'll never truly be successful. Or we might fake it till we make it, but we won't stay there. You got to have confidence that comes from your relationship with God to be really successful. Without confidence, you'll never be successful, because without confidence, you'll never step out. You'll never take a risk. You'll never go into the unknown. Without confidence, you'll never accept the invitation. You'll never walk through the opportunity. Without confidence, you'll never leave the familiar for the unfamiliar. Come on, somebody. Am I helping somebody today? Come on, give God a good Sunday morning praise, would you? Amen. All right, so those are those seven things we're breaking free from, and I know we've all found ourselves there somewhere. So what do we do, Pastor? Well, let's look at it. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Do you know that you can be addicted to religion, right? You and I both know people who are addicted to religion, but they're all bound up. They're judgmental. Yeah, how many know, how do you know if a person has a religious spirit? They're judgmental. They're critical. They're hard. They're coarse. And people can be addicted to being religious. He said, are you burnt out on religion? Then what does he say? Come to me. That's a choice, isn't it? So what's the answer to break free? Go to Jesus. It's not in a pill. It's not in a program. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could give you a pill and you get set free in 30 seconds. Boy, we make enough money to finish out everything we want to do here, wouldn't we? Now, if you come up with that pill under my teaching, tithe what you make on that pill. Praise the Lord. This revelation right there. Hallelujah. And he says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. So you can recover your life. You can get back what the devil has stolen from you. Oh my goodness. You can get back what the devil has stolen from you. And the Bible says you catch the thief, that's the devil, and he has to restore how many times? Sevenfold back into your life. Somebody needs to claim that today. So he says, and then I'll show you how. Lord, we want to know how. I mean, we're stressed out. We're burnt out. God, we're worn out. We're tired. God, I need to know how to get a rest. And guess what? He said, I'll show you how to get a real. How many of you have ever said, man, I'm going on vacation, and you come back more tired than when you left to go on vacation? Can I have a witness in the house? Amen. But you know what? Jesus can show us how. He can show us how to have relief from stress. He can show you how to have a real rest, how to break free from stress. Next verse, he says, walk with me. Well, that means get close, right? That means get close. Walk with me and work with me. So God has his part and we have our part, right? It's not going to happen automatically. Say it with me. Breaking free does not happen automatically. Let's say it again. Breaking free does not happen automatically. Wow, it's a process, isn't it? You got to come to him, and then you got to walk with him. It's a process, so don't get discouraged. It's a process, and it's progressively, so don't get discouraged, okay? Don't focus on your mistakes. Focus on what God's doing in your life today. So he said, come to me, walk with me, work with me, and watch. So notice, walk, that's a choice, get close. Work, that's cooperation. Get close, letter C, cooperation, letter C, and watch how I do it. That would be expectation. So we need to have cooperation, participation, and expectation if we want to get free. If you don't think you're going to get free, you'll never get free. If you listen to what people tell you, if it's opposite what God tells you, it's a lie. You need to replace that lie with the truth. And the truth of the Bible will set you free. Amen, church. So notice it says, walk with me, let's get close. Work with me, that's cooperation. Watch how I do it, that's expectation. Are you expecting your life to be better tomorrow than it is today? Please say yes. See, if you're not in expectation, you're not in faith. Tell somebody close to them, close to you, if you're not in expectation, you're not in faith. Tell somebody else, if you're not in expectation, you're not in faith. What are you expecting? Tell somebody, what are you expecting God to do in your life? Now, I tell you, I know exactly what God's doing in your life today. I know exactly. On your way out, don't forget the offering boxes at the back of the sanctuary. You can pay me on the way out because I'm prophetic right now. I know exactly what God's doing in your life. Well, how do you know, Pastor? He's doing exactly what you're expecting. He's doing exactly what you're expecting him to do. Well, Pastor, I've been in expectation for a breakthrough for a long time. I haven't seen it yet because God's working behind the scenes. Just because you can't see it in the natural doesn't mean he's not doing it. You got to stay in faith and believe he's doing it behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. Backstage, if you will. God's doing it behind. So if you're not in expectation, you're not in faith. So expect him to do it. And then it says learn. Learn. We're lifelong learners, aren't we? Learn the unforced, don't have to force it, rhythms of God's grace. Verse 30. I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you because, see, God's got the perfect plan for you. God's got the perfect plan for you. He said, keep company with me. Oh, what's that? Keep company? That means get close. Cooperation, participation, expectation. Get close. Get close to me. Now, that's what I'm going to build on today, so don't lose that thought. Get close to me. No breaking free without spiritual growth. No breaking free without spiritual growth. I will never break free until I begin to grow spiritually. I'll never break free until I begin to grow spiritually. Every marital problem here today is a spiritual problem. No, Pastor. Pastor, you got time after church? Let's sit down. Let me tell you what the real problem is. It's him. It's her. It's them. No. Every marital problem is a spiritual problem. Every parenting problem is a spiritual problem. Every financial problem is a spiritual problem. Family, are you listening to me? I've been doing this a long time. I've been counseling a long time. And here's what I know. The problems we have in the natural are all traced to a problem in the supernatural. There are two worlds. There's the invisible and the visible. The invisible and the visible. And all the problems in the visible, you can track back to the invisible. So if I want to fix it in the visible, I got to go to the invisible. Every marital problem is a spiritual problem. No. What's that? Pride. Well, when he changes, I'll change. When she changes, I'll change. That's an unteachable spirit. That's a lack of humility. Okay, that didn't go over real good, Lord, but I thought we'd do a little marital counseling. Yeah, here, 3 days, praise the Lord. Keep company with me and you'll learn. Here's where I got the title, you'll learn. So we're learning. I'm learning today. Y'all learning today? I'm learning today. And we'll learn to live freely and lightly. Lightly would be the other side of heavy. God doesn't want your life to be heavy. God doesn't want you to be stressed out. God doesn't want you to lose your energy and your drive and your momentum and your excitement and your enthusiasm. God doesn't want you to live. That's not God's plan for your life. That is not God's plan for your life in Jesus' name. Okay. So let's go to John chapter 8. Let's go a little deeper today. Let's build on it. Give you a few scriptures and I'll give you 3-4 points that you can take away, action plan. All right. So he said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, so who can make us free? Jesus Christ. There's no breaking free until I grow spiritually. If you just get that huge thought today, it was worth brushing your teeth, flossing, and coming to church. I hope you all did that. Praise the Lord. We don't want any bad breath, knocking anybody out. Anybody's fallen here, it's under the Spirit. not because of our bad breath, in Jesus' name. So that was worth coming out today. Seriously, if I want to break free, it's going to take growing spiritually. And that's what we're doing here today. That's what we do in our small groups. Amen? So he said, if the Son sets you free, he can keep you free. He'll make you free indeed. All right, John chapter 8, verse 31. Now, we're going to pull this one apart a little bit. And he said, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if, everyone say if. So it's conditional. It's conditional. If you're a note taker, freedom and deliverance starts with a choice. It's conditional. If. You know, I found out a lot of people don't want to grow. You found that out? A lot of people don't want to grow. Because when you grow, you take on more responsibility. And a lot of people don't want responsibility. They want a no-fault religion. They want to blame God, blame others. I found out some people don't want to get free because they get attention over their problems. Not everybody wants to grow. Have you found that out, church? The people who come here, like you and me, want to grow. We want to grow. We've had enough of church and wasted time. We want to grow, and we want our kids to grow, and we want our grandkids to grow. Amen? So not everybody wants to grow, so it's conditional. So if you're a note taker, it's a choice. It's a choice. Starts with a choice. Our life today is a result of our choices. Our life today is a result of our choices. Number two, our life today is a result of our commitments. Our life is a result of what we have committed to. What we commit to influences our life. What we commit to influences our life. But real breaking free starts with a choice. A lot of people don't want to get free. So I got to want to get free before I can ever get free. I got to be willing to change, or counseling small groups does no good for me. I got to want it. I got to will it. And then I got to do whatever it takes to walk in it. It's called sacrifice. Okay. So he said to these Jews that believed on him, if you, what's the next word? Continue. So notice that if I want to change, if I want to break free, it takes a choice. Everyone say choice. Number two, it takes commitment. Everyone say commitment. I've got to commit to the process. I got to continue. How long do I got to continue? Till you die and go to heaven. You got to continue. You got to just stay with the process. Even when you don't feel like it, you stay with the process. You got to stick to the process because it's progressive. It's a process. It's continuing. A lot of people start, but they never finish. A lot of people start, and you look around, where'd they go? And they drop off. So what do we have to do? If we really want to get free and live the life God has for us and achieve our destiny, we got to make a choice. Number two, we got to be committed. You can never build anything great without commitment. You can't even grow spiritually without commitment. It takes commitment for a marriage to work. Right, Kim? It takes commitment for a marriage to work. It takes commitment for a career to work. It takes commitment for a job to work. It takes commitment for a church to work. I can't just be non-committal. Now, I realize there are different levels of commitment, and my growth spiritually is connected to my commitment. If I'm low commitment, then I'm going to have a slow spiritual growth. Low commitment, slow spiritual growth. If I grow in my commitment, I grow in my spiritual walk. Some people say you can have this and that and there, but you can't have any of this. What's that? Low commitment. So I need to know right at the beginning, if I have a low commitment, I'm going to have a slow spiritual growth. And we grow in commitment, right? And commitment is not a bad word. Commitment is a great word. Because through commitment, you grow. Through commitment, you change. You're committing to the process, you'll wind up where you want to be. But it takes commitment. No spiritual growth without commitment. What would happen if we have leaders and workers in our dream team that wouldn't be committed every week? We couldn't have church. They weren't committed to worship one, serve one. We wouldn't have a strong church. You're not any stronger than your commitments. Your spiritual growth isn't any stronger than your commitments. So notice he said, if you want to be free, he said, it's a choice, C, And number two, it's a commitment, letter C. So he said to them, you, if you continue in my what? Word. So it takes filling your life with the Word of God to get free. The empty spaces in your head will be filled with negativity. My goodness, I'm out of time. Goodness gracious. The empty places in your life will be filled with negativity. You know, idleness is the devil's workshop. Think about that thought. Don't lose that thought. If you want to get free, you got to get full of the Word of God. More word, more freedom. Less word, less freedom. The areas of my life that aren't full of the world, word, the world will fill it with negativity, racism, bigotry, injustice, unkindness, jealousy, envy, strife, negativity, all the above. So you and I cannot afford to have a vacuum in our mind. We can't afford to have an empty place in our life. Do y'all remember, man, we didn't give very far today. I'm out of time. I haven't given you hardly anything. This is the introduction. You remember the story in the Bible when they cast the devil out of the guy? And Jesus said, you know, it's clean. And if you don't fill it back up, that Satan will come back seven times worse and fill it up. So Jesus set him free. But Jesus said, if you don't get full of something, the devil's going to come back in and seven times worse than the beginning. Oh, my goodness. We can't afford to have empty spaces and places in our head. And I feel like I have one right now because I'm going over time. Praise the Lord. The team's coming out right now. Praise God. So he said to those Jews that believed on him, if, so it's conditional, right? It's a choice. You continue. It's a commitment. The material we use is the Word of God. Then are you my what? Disciples. Disciples. Notice, have you ever noticed in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you do this, then you are my disciple. Family, listen very carefully because this is the most important thing I'm going to say all day. You know, there's a difference between being a convert and a disciple. When Jesus was talking in the New Testament, he said, if you do these things, then you are my disciple. He was talking to followers. He was talking to believers. So you know what? I'll never get free staying a convert. I'll receive freedom, but I'll never walk in it. I'll never taste it, never experience it until I'm a disciple. I'm never going to break free until I make the choice to be a disciple. So converts aren't set free. You know what I mean? Just going to church once a month and read my Bible when I got time and putting my kids' soccer game before church. I'm never going to get free. How can you say that? I've lived my whole life. I've got a few experiences under my belt, seen a few things. So I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to be a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined learner, right? A disciple, I'm giving you several definitions. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a lifelong learner. A disciple is a follower. Didn't he say, come and follow me? He didn't just say, come, get born again. But then he said, and follow me. What's a disciple? A follower of Christ. What's a disciple? A student. What's a disciple? A lifelong learner. What's a disciple? An apprentice. An apprentice. In 2 weeks, I'm going to Orlando, Florida, and I'm going to spend the whole day on a Saturday with Lee Cockrell, the former CEO of Disney World. He was over all of Disney World. We had him come speak at our Kingdom Builders, and he's invited 12 people to spend all day, breakfast, lunch, and supper with him, only 12, all over the world. They're coming from Mexico. And there are 12 of them, and the 11 are CEOs. I'm the only preacher. And for that day, you know, I'm going to be a disciple of Lee Cockrell for that day. What am I going to be? A student, a learner. I'm going to follow. I'm going to listen to what he has to say about how to build customer service and how to build great organizations. Okay? So, see, Jesus said that you'll never get free until you decide. He said, if you do these things. Didn't he say, if you obey, then you are my disciples. If you love one another, black and white, yellow and brown, then you are my disciples. It's conditional to be a disciple. That's why you see so many Christians that are caught up and bound because they're converts. They're going to heaven, but they're struggling all the way because they've never committed to be a disciple. A disciple. So here's how you become a disciple, and here's what it does. If you're a note taker, number one, to be a disciple, you got to first know God. Know God. And number two, that when you know God, then you fall in love with God. You love God. And you got to love Him more than your kids and your family and their activities to be a disciple. See why a lot of people, no way, not me. My kids come first. Wow, you're going to be sorry when you get to heaven, because when you get to heaven, your kids won't be your kids. You realize that, right? There's no father, there's no mother, there's no husband, no wife in heaven. We're all children of God. Your kids in heaven will not be your kids. They'll be your brothers and sisters. It's just the thought about heaven. Praise God. You asked for it. I laid it out there. Amen. So you have to know God. And number two, then you love God. And then number three, you obey God. And then number four, you grow in God. Here's our takeaways, action points. And then number five, you glorify God. But to glorify God, I got to know God. And in knowing God, then I begin to love God, and I want to be a disciple of the Most High God. But to be a disciple, I got to obey what He says. If He said it, I got to obey it. And some people don't want to go that far. They'll walk just far enough, and then, no, that's too much. I'm not going that far. So I got to know God. Then number two, I forgot, I got to love God. Then number three, I will obey God. And now, only now. I'll grow in God. Obedience is the key to growth. How come I'm not growing, Pastor? What's the last thing God told you to do? Tithe. I can't afford to. You'll not grow till you do. See how that went over? I love you. We've already taken the offering. We're not taking another offering. Praise the Lord. It's all good. Praise the Lord. And then last point, you will glorify God.